Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee while thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget your agony, lest I forget your love for me, lead me to Calvary. Let me, like Mary, through the gloom come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb, lead me to Calvary. Lest we forget Gethsemane, lest we forget your agony, lest we forget your love for us, lead us to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. I love him, I love him, because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
And we continue to rejoice in his wonderful love and his grace. We continue to rejoice in Calvary. And so this morning, let us turn to the 10th chapter of Numbers. Numbers 10. And let us begin reading with verse 9. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. And I want to speak for a little while this morning on God's beginnings. Of course, we are not talking about God's beginning, for he had none. That really is something that our little finite minds cannot comprehend, because God is simply eternal. But there are many beginnings that God has, and I want to notice in our verse here, in the day of your gladness, in your solemn days, and in the beginnings, plural, of your months. That means that this was to take place 12 times a year, in the beginning of every month. It is very closely akin to what we do today, what we practice many in the church today as remembering the Lord's Supper every first Sunday, to begin the month in such a manner as that. God has, I say, had many beginnings. He has executed, he has ordained, he has planned many beginnings. As a matter of fact, it really runs like a giant thread throughout the scripture that when God begins something, they all have one thing in common, and that is God always begins with a declaration of Calvary. Everything, every purpose that God has had for this world is because of the cross, because of what Jesus has done there at Calvary. Even creation, we find out that God did not bring forth one day of creation with what we read of Christ, the Lamb, foreordained or slain before the foundation of the world. God didn't create anything until that was done. It means that this was in God's mind as it was as though it were already accomplished, already done in the mind of God. Calvary had already taken place. The Lamb of God had already been slain before he called into existence even one thing on the days of creation. And so it has gone down through the ages that God hasn't done anything without this wonderful provision that Christ has made there at the cross of Calvary. They are legion. So many things that God has accomplished, but I want to see only three major beginnings for men that are ordained by God. And the first one is, as we see here in verse 10, that in the beginnings of your months, and then you are to sound the trumpet. They are silver trumpets. They were also made out of ram's horns, and they both mean exactly the same thing. They are a testimony. They are a manifestation of redemption. Silver means redemption in the scripture, and it testifies of the word of God. That is sounding out the word of redemption, which centers around Christ. And so it is that these silver trumpets were indeed to be sounded. You shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifice of your peace offerings. We know that there were five offerings that God gave to Israel. Only two are mentioned here, and they are very meaningful. First is the burnt offering, and the burnt offering was actually the greatest of the offerings. The burnt offering was an all-inclusive offering. It was always burning on the altar. All of the other offerings were laid on top of it, which means that the burnt offering is the basis for all of them. The burnt offering signifies the willingness, the complete dedication of Jesus to his Father's will. It tells us that he poured out everything in order to accomplish what God wanted to do. It also teaches that the full provision of God has been laid open for us. Everything that we ever need, everything that we ever desire, every purpose that God ever had for us is included in the provisions of the burnt offering. And so it was on these beginnings of months that God would remind us of those wonderful provisions, those things that are available unto us because of the fullness of what Jesus did there to fulfill all of the will of God. These provisions of the burnt offering are beautifully summed up in Romans 8:32. He said this, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" This is what we can expect. This is what we can claim indeed as laying hold of these tremendous blessings and glories of this burnt offering. Remembering that at the beginnings of your months. Then there was the peace offering that they were to blow the trumpet over to call attention to as to what that meant. And it has a wonderful meaning because the peace offering is a fellowship offering. It reminds us that God, the very God of the universe, has called us into fellowship with himself on the basis of Jesus. Jesus himself said he's not ashamed to call us brethren. He told us again in John 17 that God would love us, did love us, even as he loved himself, even as he loved Christ. There are many that cannot comprehend it, but I trust we get hold of it. The magnitude of the love of God that he has for us, bringing us into his very presence. Bringing us into his plans, bringing into his very heart. What a wonderful place that God has given to us because of this peace offering aspect of Calvary. Revelation 3:20 says it this way, "If any man open the door," this is Jesus' invitation, "I will come into him and sup with him." That is, I'll have supper with him. I'll have a meal with him. Always symbolic of deep, intimate fellowship that he would have. I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. It's a two-way street here that we have this glorious, intimate interaction and fellowship with Jesus. And then I want to notice a wonderful result of blowing this trumpet at the beginnings of your months. "You shall blow with the trumpets over the burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings." Notice why. "That they may be to you for a memorial before your God." God calls attention here unto the fact that we are under his protection, that he remembers us. There are many reasons that we want God to remember us. But I want to back up to verse 9 and just give us one of those. He says, "You shall blow these trumpets, you blow an alarm when your enemies come in, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies." This is one of the great reasons of remembering Calvary. It is for our protection. It is for our safety. And we claim that glorious message. This is a theme that runs through all three of these examples that we are seeing today. We remember Calvary, not just that Jesus died, but what he provided for us. And one of those things is a grand and glorious and full protection that he will give us, even in this day of great difficulty. This is so beneficial for us as we begin another year. And I guarantee you it's not going to be a real good year, so to speak. It is not going to give way to peace. It is not going to give way to real contentment and just sitting back and enjoying all the wonderful things. If that happens, it will only be temporary. I guarantee it on the authority of God's word. Beloved, we must find our protection in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us claim the message that these trumpets announce in the beginnings of these months in such a very hostile atmosphere as we find ourselves today. Then the second example I want to see is from the book of Exodus, a very familiar portion once again, Exodus 12. Again, a very important meaningful beginning. And this beginning also started with Calvary. We remember it well in Exodus 12, verse 1. The Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. The land of Egypt is typical of the world. And we can say and apply the same thing today. He is speaking to us while we are yet in this world. And the words that he has for us are very meaningful, and they must be very powerful for us. We would claim that power and interest of God in our behalf. And so he spoke to them in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months." This is the beginning of the year. This is where Israel had their official beginning as a nation. They began right here in the land of Egypt. They were baptized, so to speak, in the Red Sea, as we find in other places. But they were made one body, as it were. A nation was born, and God gave them their own calendar. The beginning of months it is unto you, as he said. Speak in verse 3 to all the congregation of Israel, saying, "In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." Once again, a beginning based upon the cross. Because the story here is of the Passover, and Jesus was that Passover. It's no accident that they were celebrating the Passover when Jesus died. God was showing the entire nation of Israel and the world, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Passover. While they represented, they took the typical lamb, the real lamb was being taken away out on the hill overlooking Jerusalem and crucified on a cross. Jesus was the Passover lamb, indeed that eternal offering that God had given. And so they were to choose their Passover lamb, every man, in verse 3, a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house, sufficient for every individual. Then we come to verse 5. This is the way that they were to conduct themselves, and the way that they were to get this lamb, and what they were to do with it. Your lamb shall be without blemish. And that can be fulfilled only in one person, and that indeed is the Lord Jesus Christ. They were to keep this lamb up, according to verse 6, from the 10th day until the 14th day. That was actually to ensure that this was the perfect lamb without blemish. I want to notice today that Jesus did not come into this world to see if he would fail. It was to prove that he could not. And it was proven beyond doubt that he was without blemish. In the time that he spent, the short years that he spent upon this earth, it was proven beyond doubt he was the perfect and absolute Son of God, incapable of sin or any kind of blemish. Listen to the testimonies of this. It was God who said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It was Pilate speaking for men who said this, "I find no fault at all in this man." And then there were other witnesses who had known Christ and who had been with him and who had witnessed of him. The Apostle Paul said it this way, "He who knew no sin was made sin for us." And again, "He was in all points tempted like as we are, tempted as a man, living in a fleshly, frail body exactly as we are. He was tempted, or he was tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin." Peter walked with him in those 3 years before he went to the cross. And Peter's assessment is this, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." And then John also had an up-close and personal view of him. And he testified and he said, "You know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. This is the Lamb without spot or blemish. And he proved himself in every situation that there was." I want to notice again that this beginning also tells us and has that beautiful thread of protection woven into it. Verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you." We remember that they were to take the blood and put it upon the doorpost. "And so the blood shall be to you for a token, just a sign upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." And I want to notice it is still that same way today. It doesn't make any difference whether a person seems to be good or whether he seems to be bad. It doesn't make any difference whether he seems to be right or seems to be wrong. It doesn't make any difference whether there is guilt or whether there is innocence. It doesn't make any difference whether he has good works or bad works or anything of that nature. The only thing that makes any difference at all, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Everything else is just completely forgotten. Cannot boast in anything. You cannot blame anything. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And this, beloved, is the beginning for every one of us as we place the blood of Christ upon the doorposts of our own hearts. And we indeed are remembered before God. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And then the third one, let us notice, is in the third chapter of Ezra. Marvelous portion, but it is so symbolic of so many things that God would do both in us and through us. Because we find out that God begins works in us, and God begins works through us. But the same thing, the same theme applies. He always begins at the cross. And let us remember in all of these things, regardless of what God does, he always begins at the cross. And this is where we find him today. This is the story of Israel. They have been, the Jews, they have been charged to go back to Jerusalem after the 70-year captivity in Babylon. They've been charged to go back and to rebuild Solomon's temple. I want to emphasize today that beginning started at the cross. Verse 1 of chapter 3, "And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Josedek, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God." But if you will jump down to verse 6. "From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord." But notice this. "But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid." Before they even began to lay the foundation of the temple, let alone finish it, before they even began to lay the foundation of the temple, they offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. God's building program always starts at the foot of the cross. He will always remember Christ and what he did before anything is ever accomplished or even begun. All of God's works and all of God's purposes, both in our lives and whatever he would seek to do through us, And we know that God does use his people for his purpose and for his way. But he must always begin at the cross, even as he has done at this particular point. And so you'll notice that they builded the altar here in verse 2. Builded the altar of the God of Israel, and it was to burn the offer burnt offerings. This time, that's all they offered is just the burnt offering. Again, it is symbolic of the fullness of the provisions that Jesus made there at the cross. It was always burning upon the altar, which means it is an eternal offering. It is just as sweet today as it was over 2,000 years ago when Jesus actually died before God. It's been that way from before the foundation of the world, as the scripture said. God has based everything that he has ever done or ever will do on this incident there at the cross. And so it is with us, that we too must claim that same thing in our own lives. And so you'll notice that they set up this altar. Notice verse 3. They set the altar upon his bases. And notice why. For fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. The reason they did it is once again for protection. They were protected from their enemies in an extremely hostile land. And it was justified. Read the stories here in Ezra, and read also in the book of Nehemiah the tremendous things that Israel faced, obstacles that came against them. And they succeeded only because it was all in view. And the foundation of all of it was the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the same thing is in our path today. We simply do not know what is before us. We have talked to a number of people over the weeks and years, found out things that just came upon them in great shock and surprise. But remember this, nothing ever takes God by surprise. He has already provided for us under the protecting arm of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, as we begin this new year, let's begin it exactly as God said to do it, in the beginnings of your months. Then let us remember it is under the protection of the cross of Calvary that we reside. And so today we would do exactly what Jesus said. As oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. It is for our well-being. It is for his glory. But it is for our well-being and protection that we remember Christ. That it must be as real and living to us as it is unto God, and he can make it so in our own experience. We are protected and we are preserved by his work on the cross of Calvary. And so let us hear the sounds of those trumpets in our own hearts today as the Word of God keeps ringing through our minds and our ears and our hearts as to the effectiveness of God's Word in regard to the cross of Calvary, the very basis of anything and everything that we have or ever will have.